Hey, do me a favor and take table 7.
You mean the one with my 118-pound rock-hard stud of a fiancé who's prone to canker sores and pink eye?
No, I prefer to look at it as the one with my ex-boyfriend and his gorgeous, successful, and sophisticated girlfriend who makes me feel like a toothless Okie.
Do you want me to spill hot soup on her?
Oh, please, you're not that kind of person.
I know, but if she orders something low-fat, I'll totally give her the full-fat version.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we are your hosts.
Oh, my God.
You said I kept cutting out, so I had to lower the pitch of my voice.
You don't have to go fan podcast.
Of course I do. It's funny.
It's not the horror person podcast.
But it's with the host of the horror podcast.
Yes, it is, but it is
the PMS Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast, and we are your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fans, Kat
and Paul, or as we say, and Paul.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those episodes.
Just completely gone off the rail within the first 30 seconds.
Now, before we go completely off the rails, we actually need your help, where you're calling on our Big Bang Theory fan family to help us out. We have another podcast, which is actually what started all of our podcasting and eventually gave birth to the PMS podcast. And it's called the Home Class Movie Chat. And we talk about all things movies. Like, for example, a couple of recent ones we did was Totally Killer, which is a lot of fun with the girl who plays in the new Dark Sabrina, and also No Way Out, which is one of my personal all-time favorite movies from like late 1980s, I think it was.
It was 1987.
It was one of Kevin Costner's big breakout movies that has Sean Young and Gene Hackman, and it's a really great movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it and then listen to the podcast. But
and also Under the Tuscan Sun with Diane Lane,
which is one of our personal favorite joint movies.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, we've redone the format. We've kind of relaunched the podcast, and we're wanting to try and get some traction so that we know people are going to enjoy it and listen to it. So if you like movies like we do, please pop over and check out the Home Class Movie Chat, and we would really love to get your support and reviews and likes.
And if you do, we'll be your best friend.
We're already your best friend.
We'll be your bestest friend.
But, you know, like we said, if you like movies, please go check it out. If you enjoy it, please help us spread the word. We would really, really, really appreciate your support.
Really?
Really.
Really.
Totally.
Totally. Totally. Totally kill, man.
Totally kill, babe.
See, I don't say that correctly.
I say it
in Australian accent. Totally killer. Like I said something last night, and Kat was like, what? I said something completely something that we were talking about, and I said something, and obviously my Australian accent just came out, and it was
it
like
it did.
And she's like, what are you talking about? I mean, I don't even hear Kat's accent anymore. I mean, people say she's got an accent. Well, I have one too.
And
we
I
all have an
don't
accent.
Don't hear his anymore either. But every once in a while he'll like, I forget what the word was, but it had an R on the end that he didn't pronounce, and it sounded like something else. And I was like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah. So, yes, Totally Killer is, and if you just want a quick synopsis of Totally Killer, it's basically a girl that happens to go back in time to try and actually work out who's killing these group of friends that her mother was associated with when she
back
was in high
80s.
School.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a time travel movie, but it is a really great time travel movie. I mean, it's such a fun movie to watch.
It really was a lot of fun. And it's not, as Leonard says, it's not Hot Tub Time Machine all over again.
No, it's not.
I've never seen.
We've got that one. We can watch it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do it on the home class.
We could do that in the home class. Did we actually do, I don't think we did My Best Friend's Exorcism on the home class either, did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
We did?
No, we did the one where she ended up tied to a washing machine.
Oh, that was My Life After Beth.
Yeah, we did that one. I don't think we've done My Best Friend's Exorcism yet.
We got to do that one because I've already got all the sound grabs ready to go. Awesome. But we are not here to talk about movies. We are here to talk about The Big Bang Theory, which is season 4, episode number 23.
The Engagement Reaction.
Now, what did we think of this episode?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Not...
The Sheldon's part is probably the most humorous part of it.
This is an episode I didn't realize this. We don't see Amy at all.
No, we don't.
Nope. Amy's not involved in this episode whatsoever. It's basically the core group, which is obviously we know is Penny, Raj, Howard, Sheldon, Leonard, and Bernadette, and unfortunately Priya. Priya's on it.
It does forward some of the characters' arcs and stories a little bit.
It humanizes Priya a small little bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really go a great deal further. And as you've said many times, you know, we're getting close to the time where we see Priya less and less to get her away from this.
Yeah.
Even Penny brings it up in this episode that she doesn't get to hang out very much with you guys. So I don't get to hear any of your jibber jabber.
Oh, that is my favorite point.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that at the beginning. Actually, no, I'm going to put that somewhere as a sound grab. Whether it's going to be at the beginning or the end, you'll hear that little sound grab.
That
anyway.
Little sequence of Penny talking to Sheldon about jibber jabber.
Yeah.
We will get to that in a minute. So he's jumping the gun a little
bit.
So we start out at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yep.
And before we get into that, I just want to point out a continuity error.
Okay.
That when they're during dinner at the Cheesecake Factory, while Howard is talking, there's a woman in a blue jacket with brown pants that walks behind him.
Okay.
And she does it twice going in the same direction. Yep.
I have got to see that episode now. So was that when Penny was talking to, was Penny?
No,
was
it's when they're all sitting at the table talking. You see this woman in a blue jacket with brown pants walk past him. And then a couple seconds later, she does it again from the same direction.
Oh, I got to see it.
Yeah.
I got to see it.
So
absolutely.
So the editors missed the fact that.
Whoops. Yeah.
Oopsies.
And I like it how Penny actually says to Bernadette, could you go over and wait on that table?
I love this.
And she's like, oh, the one with my rock hard.
With my 118 pound rock hard fiance.
And
she's
goes,
well, I prefer to think about it as the one with my ex-boyfriend and his gorgeous girlfriend that makes me feel like a toothless Okie.
Yeah. So she goes, well, that's okay. Do you want me to spill? You want me to spill something on her? I could definitely spill hot soup on her. And she's like, oh,
seriously? Penny's like, no, you're not that kind of person.
And she goes, that's okay, but if Priya asks for something low fat or no fat,
I'm totally going to give her the full fat. And then when she brings the drinks over, she's like, okay, and here's your root beer for Priya. And is it no sugar? That's what you ordered.
Now, I'm telling you, this harks back to last week's episode we were talking about with Courtney, that there is we're starting to see the arc of Bernadette becoming the bitch, you see?
It's starting.
But I also love it how we're sitting there and Sheldon goes and takes a glass of what he thinks is his water. And Leonard goes, Sheldon, that's my water. And he goes,
He's like, what?
And he goes, yeah, you're drinking my water. And he goes, have you been drinking it? And he goes, yes, of course. It's
my water.
And Sheldon absolutely starts freaking the hell out because.
And then he grabs the napkin, starts to wipe his tongue. And Leonard's like, that's my napkin. And you see Sheldon get up and take his napkin off his lap and throw it on the chair going, oh, what fresh hell is this?
Yeah. And then he decides that he's going to go and run to the bar and rinse his mouth out with alcohol.
And disinfect his mouth with alcohol.
Yeah. Now, when he comes back. He actually says,
I did it with tequila and I think I might have swallowed some. And Leonard's like, are you all right? And Sheldon's like, I love you so much.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for asking. I love you so much.
That was hilarious.
Now, Bernadette, Bernadette comes out with everyone's order and we see that we assume that she screwed up Priya's order, which is a good thing. And Priya actually asks if she and Howard have actually started planning their wedding. And we find out that Bernadette's idea was to actually have the wedding which I think would have been really nice on a cliffside,
cliff overlooking the ocean.
And as Howard says, there's nothing more that you actually love to get rid of your wedding jitters than actually the possibility of you falling to your death in the ocean and drowning. And then we find out that Howard has not told her his mother about them getting married yet. And he decides that he's going to try and do something like maybe weave it into her eulogy at her funeral. But as Bernadette says, he's just trying to pick the right time, which I understand that, you know, I mean,
he's terrified of his mother that way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, changes the subject by saying, well, have you told your parents, Priya, that you're dating this short, nearsighted glass of white milk?
Yeah. And she goes, well, that's different. We're not going to get married. We're not engaged. And, you know, the Indian parents are very protective of their children. And I love how it goes. Oh,
like Jewish mothers take a real laissez-faire attitude toward their sons. Because we all know that Jewish mothers are like so... They're basically their son. All of their sons are the Messiah.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before about how they are with their.
It's a very cultural thing that especially the firstborn son in a Jewish household is just the gift from God. He can do no wrong. He is everything.
That's really quite interesting because that either puts a lot of pressure on the son, or the son goes out with this predetermined idea that he can do no wrong.
That tends to be more like it.
And when he gets married, he would be saying to his wife, "You do what I do, and you'll do what I say, not as I do.
Yeah,
I'll do what I want to do, and you'll do what I'm telling you you're going to do." Yeah. That's a very, very.
It does create a lot of that. I have seen it create a lot of that kind of dynamic.
That could be a very, very toxic relationship when you look at it, couldn't it?
Well, look at Howard and Bernadette's early relationship. When the first time he stayed, you know, moved in with her. Okay, so what are you making for dinner? Make sure you put some stuff on the laundry list because I need this special stuff for my shorts.
And that's right. Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm doing your laundry now, and he's like, well, it's not going to do itself.
Yeah. So even then though. You know, when the argument ensues in the hospital, and we're going to get to that, you know, she says something about some word that she says, and he goes, she goes, do you know what that means? He goes, yeah, do you?
Yeah, it's putts.
Yeah, putts, that's right. And she goes, I'm getting married to a putts. Do you know what that word means? And he goes, yes. Do you know what it means? It's almost like my dear.
Yeah, your mother just taught it to me.
Yeah, you're a woman. How would you know that word, dear?
No, it's because she is non-Jewish and she doesn't speak Yiddish. Putz is the Yiddish word slang for dick.
Really? I didn't know that. Dick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that a fun fact that I just burnt through?
Yeah.
Damn it. Sorry.
That's all right, because it's appropriate for this part of the conversation.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
So I'm
all
good
right.
with that.
So back at the apartment, the boys are playing the Mystic Warlords of Ka'a. Now, there is something that Raj is doing that is so friggin' annoying.
Okay, it's annoying, but I thought it was kind of funny.
Okay,
because it was clever what he was doing.
So every card that they have played, whether Sheldon puts down a card, Leonard or Howard puts down a card, Raj has to commentate on it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it becomes annoying. Once is okay, twice, all right, but every single time you put a card down.
Yeah. Like, and it was funny because they got around to Raj and he put his down and Sheldon gives him the look and he's like, all right, one more.
But one of them, he actually is, Howard puts down the card, the water nymph, and Raj comes back with, oh yeah, she's got puddles in all the right places. I mean, it's like, come on, Raj. Yeah. This is every play, everything.
Well, and then his card was, I forget exactly, it was tree or something
that's,
else.
That's right, yeah. The
and he's
tree.
Like, I'm taking a walk and I'm sporting wood.
Which is funny, but come on. I mean, after everything that he puts down, oh, my God.
Now, just for the record, the Mystic Warlords of Ka'a, in case you're thinking, oh, I want to play this game, which I have had that thought.
Yeah.
It was created by the art department, and it only exists in the Big Bang universe. It is not out in the world. I wish they would release it.
I wish they would release this one,
but
too.
It did show up in the Justice League Recombination. Season 4, episode 11, season 4, episode 23, The Engagement Reaction, which is this one.
Yep.
Season 5, episode 10, The Flaming Spittoon Acquisition.
That's when they change it to The Wild West.
And then season 6, episode 2, The Decoupling Fluctuation.
That's right. Yes. But look, I mean, I wish they'd actually released this game because it would actually be quite fun to play. Yeah.
But if anybody out there plays card games like Magic the Gathering, please write in and tell us, is Mystic Warlords of anything like Magic the Gathering? Because yes. I haven't played that either.
Yeah, so Perpetual Motion Squad 00, that's the number 00 at gmail.com. Write into us and let us know if that is the possibility that the Mystic Warlords of Ka'ar is exactly like the Magic the Gathering. Or even to a lesser extent, even Pokemon.
Yeah.
Let us know if it's actually even close to Pokemon, because I know my stepson, he was very, very heavily into Pokemon. He's got the original first run series of cards, which are quite expensive now. And I remember him playing it, and I had no idea what he was doing, but it looked, you know, interesting. So I'm just wondering whether it's a parallel between the Magic the Gathering and Pokemon, that the Mystic Warlords is actually sort of like
kind of along
the
same line.
Yeah, same line of it. Yeah. So we also find out that when they're playing this, you know, the card game, Howard gets a text, and we find out that Bernadette is actually going to lunch with his mother. So Bernadette and his mother are going to go on a lunch date at a Jewish deli, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And
it does come out later that it's a Jewish deli.
Jewish deli. And we really, you know, obviously he's very, very worried about that scenario, but he's got full confidence in Bernadette and his mother that they'll get along and everything will be fine. And of course, I love it how they're sitting there and Sheldon grabs a drink of water because they've got bottled water there. And I love it how Raj looks at him and goes, Sheldon, that's my water. And he goes, oh my God, what fresh hell is this? And runs off and he's trying to find the mouthwash. And we find that Raj
while he's looking for the mouthwash in the bathroom, Leonard pipes up with, that wasn't his water.
That wasn't your water. And he goes, yes, I know it wasn't.
I know it wasn't. And then you hear Sheldon yell, oh my God, where's the mouthwash? And Raj pulls it out from behind the pillow next to him and says, where indeed? And the guys are like, oh, messing with him good.
I know, I like that. And it's so much fun. It is so much fun to mess with Sheldon because it works. It works when it really works, which is great. So we find out that Howard arrives home and is searching for his mum, who happens to be in the bathroom. And
okay, now, before we get into all of that.
Yes, sorry, you've got something there.
I'd like to point out that behind Howard on the wall, there are actual pictures of Simon Helberg as a child doing magic at his bar mitzvah, stuff like that, and him as a child, as a very small boy. There's also pictures of, obviously, like grandparents and things like that. And my question is, and I haven't been able to find this, so those of you who really dive into the canon, like Courtney, I'm talking to you.
Courtney, we're looking at you.
Like to know if any of the, and in a later version, a later episode in the series, you see a credenza with a picture of Howard and Bernadette at their wedding and a picture from like Howard's bar mitzvah with a man and a woman, which theoretically are his parents. So my question is, are any of these other pictures of Carol Ann Suzy as his mother? Did they use actual pictures of the woman playing his mother in any of those photographs?
That'd be very interesting to find out.
I'd like to know that.
Courtney, get on it. But actually, when you said about, you know, how much you'd love them to release the Mystic Warlords of Ka'ar, what I would love them to also release are the two action figures that they did in 3D rendering of Bernadette and Howard.
There's a Howard and a Bernadette and a Raj.
No, not so much Raj because they Raj that
is,
one up.
They made it, but he looked at black.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the ones where you've got in Howard's house. In later episodes where you've got Howard in the yellow shirt and the red pants and Bernadette in her outfit alongside of each other. I'd love them.
I would love to get those.
Because I'd love to put that into your collection because Kat has got an extensive Big Bang Theory collection. Yes, and that'd be great to actually have in there. So Howard gets home and he's asking his mum, you know, how did the lunch go? And he's told that Bernadette is such a lovely girl, cute as a button. And, you know, I like how she goes, oh, did you know that she's studying to become a microbiologist? And he goes, no, she never told me that. And she's like, well, she probably did. You just didn't listen. And he goes, so what do you think? Do you like her? And he goes, she says, oh, absolutely. I do like her. And he goes, good, because I've got a bit of a surprise for you. We are actually engaged to be married. And, you know, okay, so, you know, Howard's mother is in the bathroom, so she is actually taking a number two.
The beginning conversation is hilarious because he's like, "Ma, where are you?" And she's like, "I'm in the bathroom." And he's like, "Well, how did it go?" "I don't know yet. I haven't been here long enough."
"Yeah, I'm not finished yet." When he says to her, "I've got some good news," and she
"No,"
goes,
and
what?
Then he says, "Well, I mean lunch with Bernadette." She's like, "Oh, I had pastrami on rye. She had eggplant lasagna. Like, you order that in a Jewish deli."
Yeah. And then she says, you know, when he says about, "I've got some good news," and she goes, "Well, I hope you do, because I've got some bad news in here." And that's when he says, "We're engaged to be married." And she goes all quiet, and he goes, "Ma, are you bearing down?" And then suddenly you hear this giant thud in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So he immediately goes to the door, tries to open it. The door's...
Well, no, he said that he and Bernadette are getting engaged, and that's when she just goes silent, and then you hear this giant thud.
Yeah. And then, of course, he goes to open the door, and, of course, the door obviously is blocked by
maybe
his mother.
Now, my first question is, I think it was locked.
I think it was locked. I think so, too.
And my first question is, why would you lock the bathroom if it's just you and your son?
There is still those
people.
Or if
she's home alone.
There are still some those people that when they're home alone, if they're in a vulnerable situation, they will lock the door. I know my grandmother who, had, security features in her house, but she would go to the bathroom. She would still lock the bathroom door. I think that comes back to the way that you were brought up.
Well,
you would
I
lock
mean,
the door for privacy.
Okay, so there was my parents, me and my brother in our house. And yeah, I would lock the door to the bathroom because my brother was known to try and just walk in. It happened. So with other people in the house, yeah, I can understand that. But I have to admit, I lived alone long enough that I just don't do it anymore. Half the time I forget to shut the door. Sorry, too much information.
It's okay. We're all family here. We don't care.
But the relationship between he and his mother is just so freakishly close, like the fact that she still gives him baths.
Yeah, and
so
takes his
you would think that they wouldn't
rectally
lock the door on
but,
each other.
But I think maybe...
Especially if they're alone.
Maybe in this situation, she wants a bit of privacy when she's going to the bathroom. I don't know.
But anyway.
He does hear the thud. So, obviously she doesn't respond. She's either knocked out or whatever. So he runs towards the door to try and bust open the door and then slams his shoulder against the door and falls back and goes, Ma, help. It's like, well, your mother's unconscious in the bathroom and you've just suddenly injured your arm. Exactly how is she supposed to suddenly get off the floor to help you out? It's like, oh my
yeah.
God.
He's like, Ma, help. Like she's now, unconscious in the bathroom.
Yeah. Now we transition from that scene over to the laundry room, which we were talking about earlier.
Okay. This is one of my absolute
I'm going to let you take
bits.
This one.
Okay. So Sheldon's doing laundry. Penny, and so we can only assume that it's Saturday.
Laundry day. Yeah.
Saturday is laundry night.
Mm-hmm.
And Penny comes in to do her laundry and she sees Sheldon. And she's like, "Oh, how are you going?" And I forget what he responded. And she's like, "Yeah, I don't get to really hang out with you guys anymore. I really miss your, sometimes I miss your jibber jabber." And he's like, "Jibber jabber? What do you mean jibber jabber?" She's like, "Well, what are you working on at work?" And he starts to tell her, and she's like, "Oh, well, even you have to admit that sounds like jibber jabber." And
yeah.
Then he starts the best line, one of the best lines of the whole series. He turns around, he says, "Well, do you know what how the term jibber jabber came into being?" And she looks at him and she says, "Oh my God, you're going to jibber jabber about jibber jabber."
That is a great line.
Best lines ever.
Yeah, that is a great line. I love that one.
That one just really cracked me up. I thought that was hilarious.
And the reason that she says it is because she's obviously, as we know, she has to keep her distance away from
Leonard because
of Priya.
Is too insecure.
Priya's a bitch.
Yeah, she is.
So Leonard bursts in with the news that Howard's now at the hospital with his mother. And for them all to go there, and Penny is the first person to be at the laundry door ready to go. And Leonard's like, "Come on, Sheldon." He goes, "To the hospital? I don't think so." And he's very reluctant because he says there are so many pathogens and diseases at hospitals. And I like it how Penny really points this out to Sheldon. She says, "You buy all these superhero t-shirts and all that. You're all about the superheroes. But the moment that you have to step up, you immediately decide to hide in the laundry room."
And
how are we supposed to tell Howard this?
And they're like, yeah, so how are we supposed to tell Howard that when he, in his moment of need, you thought your stuff was more important than him? And he's like, well, I think he would know that by now.
Yeah. But they like, end up by managing to coerce Sheldon into the car to go down to the hospital, which is it's good that he got there, but it's a bad idea that they took him. They really are with what ends up at the end of this episode. So at the hospital waiting room, Howard is, and I like it how he says, you know, that he managed to carry his mother to the car and drove her to the hospital.
And he's sitting there with his arm in a sling.
Yeah. And Penny's like, you carried your mother.
Wait a minute. You picked up your mother. Her legs can barely do that.
And he goes, well, it's the same way as like adrenaline when a mother lifts the car off of a baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It'd be easier to pick up a car.
And he goes, well, listen, by the time with the adrenaline, after I managed to put her pants on, I was unstoppable.
Yeah, once I got up the courage to pull up her pants,
I was unstoppable and drove like a madman to the emergency room. And, of course, he suspects that it might be a heart attack and... And I like it how Bernadette says, well, that might mean that you've also got a possibility of having a heart attack, which is actually true because there are people that do have in their family, there's hereditary traits, whether you are bald or whether you've got a propensity to have heart attacks running in your family or diabetes. There's something inherently goes through your genetic code to make it that there's a good chance you're going to get it. I mean, it may skip a generation, but a lot of the times you'll get it the same way as a family member.
That's one of the joys of being adopted. I have no idea what I'm prone to, so I don't become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
There you go. And I'm sure, you know, Kat is very glad to know that in my family, I have no male pattern baldness.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful head of hair, I gotta say.
My grandfather died with a full head of hair. My father's got a full head of hair. I do too.
It really, I understand that men actually take after their maternal grandfather.
Which he had a full head of hair as well.
Yeah. So yeah, Paul has and not only does Paul have a beautiful head of hair, it's curly. It's fun to play with.
Yes.
I like running my fingers through it.
It's long and it's curly.
He looks like Leo Sayer right now because he's overdue with it for
Oh my God. You actually told our family about that.
Yeah, of course I did. So if you go on YouTube because if you're not a child of the 70s like we are, go on and look up Leo Sayer and the song I Love You More Than I Can Say, and that's what Paul's hair looks like right now because he's overdue for a haircut. He's trying to see how long he can go without getting a haircut.
All I can say in this.
Oh,
right at this moment.
Whoa, yeah.
I was going to say that. I love you more than I can say. I love you twice as much tomorrow. Whoa. I love you more than I can say.
Yeah, we won't be giving up our day job anytime soon.
Well, we've now got the Big Bang Theory PMS sing-along. So if you want to sing along with us, just write into us.
Okay.
PerpetualMotionSquad00. We can have a Skype date where we can all have a sing-along.
So when they're in the waiting room, Sheldon has to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely
going to the bathroom. And he's asking Howard to take him. And he's like,
my mother's on a deathbed.
Can you drive me home so I can go to the bathroom? And he's like, well, what's wrong with the one here? And he's like, well, Streptococcus, meningococcus, and a whole bunch of other caucuses.
Yeah.
But the plural of coxes is cocci, and he would know that.
Or coxiges.
Coxie.
Was it coxiges as well?
No, coxie.
Coxies. Okay. So we find out that, you know, the doctor comes out to speak to Howard, and he says, you know, how's my mother? And he goes, well, the doctor said, well, it's not a heart attack, but we are running some more tests. And he goes, well, can I go and see her? And he says, and the doctor says, well, yes, but first she wants to, and I quote, see the little Catholic girl.
Yeah.
And so this is where Bernadette's like, me? Why does she want to see, you know, speak to me? And I like it how Howard goes, the Jewish people have been asking that for centuries. There's no right answer. So we see that Bernadette walks off to, you know, go and speak to his mother. So we find out that, you know, Penny's there and Priya's there, obviously, because Priya's come with Raj. And they're having, they're starting to have this really bad coffee. And I like it how, you know, Priya praises, as we say, Penny for being there for Howard. And Penny acknowledges Howard as my friend. She says,
starts to giggle.
And she says, "What did I say something funny?" She says, "No, Howard Wolowitz is my friend. Did I mention to you that the first time I met him, he tried to kiss me and I punched him and broke his nose?" And they find out that, and Priya basically says, you know, okay, well, she doesn't really get into it, but Penny says, "Listen, this coffee's horrible. Let's go and find the cafe." And so as they walk off, I like how Raj says to Leonard, "Wow, that's right." How Leonard says, "Oh, it's really nice that the girls are getting along." And Raj says, "Oh, yes, your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend spending time together. I'm sure that's going to go well for you." And he goes, "In what way?" And he goes, "Well, it just depends on what they're going to talk about."
You really want them comparing notes.
Yeah. And I like it how like Leonard looks at Raj and goes, "You're a mean little man." It's like, yes.
And Raj is like, "Yeah, you would think it was because my parents didn't love me, but they actually loved me a lot." So he's just admitted that he's a jerk for no reason.
I know. And I also love it how Priya also says that Raj had a bunch of friends like this in New Delhi, but they also dressed up in leotards and called themselves the New Delhi Power Rangers.
Oh, when he was little?
And she goes, "Not as little as what you'd want to hope."
So you probably figure it was like in high school.
Yeah, probably. So now we see that Sheldon is on his way back from the toilet because he managed to get out of the waiting room because the doctor came in. And as he's going out of the bathroom, he sees this guy being on a gurney, being wheeled, coughing madly.
And not covering his mouth at all.
Yeah. So in order to escape the coughing, Sheldon ducks into a room.
Unfortunately, the first room he sees, not looking at the door.
Which says biohazard warning sign. Before turning around, seeing an astonished medical staff who declare that he can't leave because he's been exposed.
They're in full protection gear from literally head to toe.
Yeah, this would be a very, very serious, disease this guy's got from them to be in biohazard gear. I've only worn that biohazard gear, I think, about 3 or 4 times. And when you're in it, you know, you have to clean everything. It's like a spacesuit, but you literally zip yourself into it. But where you've also got to attach an air hose, which is purified air, into the actual suit, which then expands. So you've actually got cool air, but it's actually the cleanest air you can ever have because it circulates. So basically, the air will blow in, and any toxins in your system or in the air that you're in the suit actually gets expelled out. So you've got this constant flow of clean air. So whatever this guy's got, to have 3 doctors standing there in biohazard gear, Sheldon does not want to be exposed to that. No. But unfortunately, he's now exposed to it.
And the doctor's like, "You can't leave. You've been exposed." And he pulls up his shirt over his nose and he goes, No, I haven't. It's all good.
So, of course, as we see, meanwhile, Priya and Penny are walking past the biohazard room, chatting about Leonard's odd habits as a lover. And, of course, you see Sheldon's going, you know, help me. But I like it, the conversation that Penny is talking about is the fact that, you know, because of the way that his mother is, he has to overcompensate for things, which is why the foreplay goes on and on. It's like he's trying to win a prize.
Yeah.
And I like it how Penny goes, "Word to the wise, don't fall asleep or you'll never hear the end of it. So as we find out, you know, the fact that, you know, Bernadette goes to see the mother, and she comes out and she absolutely is scolding Howard. This is Bernadette scolding Howard, saying that she's engaged to a putz. Do you know what a putz is? And he goes, "Yeah, I do. Do you know what that means?" And she says, "The reason that your mother," because she first thought that the reason that
Howard assumed that his mother collapsed because of the timing. He said he's getting married to Bernadette and his mother collapsed. So we thought that she may have had a heart attack.
Yeah.
In shock to that news.
Yeah. And when, you
and
know,
so Bernadette is feeling so, so guilty.
Yeah. And as Howard says, you know, "The fact is that, you know, you can give me what my mother can't." And Bernadette immediately goes with sexual intercourse. And this is where she gets absolutely distraught about this whole.
Oh, that's when Raj and Priya come in and yeah. they're like, what's going on? She's like, Howard's mother had a heart attack because I can have sex with him and she can't.
And she runs out of the room. So when she comes back into the room, she explains that it wasn't, obviously we find out it wasn't a heart attack. But the reason that she wanted to see Bernadette is because she wanted to make sure that she wasn't, she didn't get
his
food
mother
poisoning.
Collapsed because she thought she might have gotten food poisoning at the deli, and she wanted to make sure that Bernadette was okay.
Exactly.
And that she thinks she's a wonderful girl and you're lucky to have me. You're a putz.
Yeah, absolutely. This
How
revelation.
How dare you think that marrying me would cause a heart attack in your mother?
Yeah. And I really like it how, at the end of it, you know, Bernadette is going to leave the room, and Howard goes, where are you going?
To the bathroom, do you mind?
And says it exactly like Mrs. Wolowitz. And I like it how when she storms off, Howard looks over at the rest of the guys and goes, is it just me or does she really sound sexy when she's angry? And it's like, oh my God, please yeah. don't tell me, because that's exactly
Oedipus,
the way you're,
Oedipus, Oedipus.
That's exactly why your mother sounds.
Oedipus. Actually, what was really funny is when Bernadette goes in to talk to his mother, and the doctor looks at Howard and he says, you brought a Catholic girl home to meet your mother? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, let me write you a prescription for Xanax.
But I like another scene where when Penny and Priya comes back and they're giggling and chatting, and of course Leonard goes, so what are you guys chatting about? And they what are you guys talking about?
And Penny's
Priya
like,
goes,
I'm just comparing notes of how you are in the sack.
And he goes, ah, oh, that's good. And she goes, yeah, it is. And I like it how Leonard looks at Raj, and Raj goes, that could only be good for you. And he goes, oh, it's okay, I'm a master at foreplay.
And Raj just laughs and he looks at him and says, you really are a mean little man. And Raj just smiles and nods.
As if to say, yes, I am a mean little man.
Yes, I am.
So in the final scene, we're seeing...
Hold on.
Oh,
so
sorry.
It is the first time, and I asked you, I said, isn't this the first time where we hear Bernadette yell like Howard's mother? And
yeah.
And confirming that it is.
It was.
Although she did do an imitation of her in season 4, episode 9, The Boyfriend Complexity.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
It wasn't
an earshot.
Like this.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. And when she really lets fly, but you can almost see that there is that slight little thing with regards to how Bernadette's going to be, because you can see that she's the alpha dog in the relationship.
Yeah, you're starting to see that shift into what she will be for the rest of the series.
Yeah,
from a sweet little thing to a bitch for no reason.
And Howard really is the beta. He is not the alpha. Bernadette is way the beta, way the alpha in this relationship.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. So in the final part of the scene, we're seeing that Leonard, Howard, and Raj are wearing hazmat suits and playing the Mystic Warlords of Ka'a with Sheldon, who is under quarantine because he's been exposed to a deadly virus. And Raj is still giving the annoying comments about every single card they play. But you actually even said to me that at the end of this episode, when the guys decide to leave the room, the cards either have to stay there, or when Sheldon is said you're okay to go now, the cards have to stay there and get burned.
Well, actually, they might not have to if Sheldon, it turns out, didn't have whatever it was. But it's still probably to be on the safe side. They'd probably recommend burning those cards.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, because Sheldon is so nervous around germs, maybe he might associate those cards with that part of his life that he would want to
get
away.
Anyway.
Yeah, and just get a brand new set. Because as we know, they're going to bring out another Mystic Warlords of Ka'a, but a Western version where they have to go and get
an expansion pack.
Yeah, with the Western themes. So they might end up by just getting rid of these cards. But yeah, the screen then goes black, and that is the end of this episode. As
I
we said,
I can't believe we went on as long as we have.
And we're fine. The mailbag that I did 2 weeks ago was only like 30 minutes long, and I'm sure people are clamoring for decent material from us. So
that was an hour and a half.
No, when I did the mailbag.
Oh, the mailbag,
before we did Courtney's episode last week.
Yeah, they love us.
Yeah, so, you know, but as I said, it's a good episode. It's not
a great one.
Episode. We are really getting, we just want to get rid of Priya.
I have to say, I appreciate that Priya and Penny were nice to each other.
Yeah.
But I have a really hard, you know, and I appreciate Priya saying, oh, it's nice that you're here for Howard, but I have a hard time seeing her being so welcoming and friendly to Penny.
I don't see
after
her
the way she's behaved previously. It just doesn't ring true for me.
No, I don't see Priya allowing Penny back into the fold.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Regardless of the conversation.
I think she might have looked at this as a one-off because it's not where they normally hang out.
Yeah. But with this situation, I would say that Priya would be like, it's wonderful that you're here, but you can't go any further into back into the friendship.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I'm still a narcissistic person that's still very, worried about your possibility of your stealing Leonard. So, no, but I think this was a good episode, not a great one, but it will certainly keep your entertainment
forward.
It certainly did. But as I said, it was really interesting. We never got to see Amy, but Amy wouldn't have been really a big
Amy's help not integral to the group yet.
Yeah. Not yet. No.
So that being said, we had one, for those who are following along at home, one meal at the Cheesecake Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And our crazy credits. What doesn't kill us makes us bitter. Did he give me a number? Oh, I closed it. Never mind. What doesn't kill us makes us bitter. I used to believe that to be both funny and true. Years later, I learned that pain could also be the touchstone for personal growth, which of course points back to the original saying, what doesn't kill us makes us better. Not funny, but perhaps closer to the truth, or at least the truth I choose to believe in these days. So having recently experienced a bit of a pain, am I better? Well, let's review. I think I'm fairly immune to name calling now. I'm not sure I could have made that claim a few months ago. I've also come to see that the things I used to think were big deals are not. Problems appear to be relative. If you have a big one, it makes all the others seem almost charming in comparison. And finally, when your life takes a path you could never have foreseen, it's humbling. In a good way. It's kind of like a friendly reminder from the universe that while you may think you have the starring role in the movie of your life, you're actually just a bit player trying to grab a quesadilla off the craft services table when no one's looking. So to sum up, I now have a thicker skin, I'm less likely to sweat the small stuff, and perhaps more importantly, I have a renewed sense of humility. All in all, better. That being said, I will still try to stay reasonably bitter in order to maintain my eligibility in the Writers Guild of America.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's not too bad at all. Yeah, okay. that's really good. But yeah, look, if you guys want to get in touch with us with anything, dog pictures, cat pictures, you know, recipes, just to say hi, that you like the show.
I'll send you the link from my cookbook.
Yeah, Kat's got a cookbook. We can send it out to you. Look, just email us, perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com. Now, damn it, I've been talking all this time, and I didn't even think of a question to ask.
And please, while you think of a question, please remember to join us at the Home Class Movie Chat. We would love to have your support over there.
I realized I've got a question.
See, I knew I'd give you enough time for it.
Yep, you did. And I have had this, so it is terrifying and it's horrible. Have you ever had food poisoning?
Oh, it is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately, never from my own food.
No.
But yeah. Have you ever had food poisoning?
Yeah. Have you ever had food poisoning? That is, I've had it. It is, if anyone, I mean, obviously there are people that will answer us and say they have. It is beyond horrible. It really is. So yeah. And I also found out the other day, when I was doing the mailbag, I didn't actually tell you, Rob, who emailed us, who's from Austin, Texas.
Oh, I love Austin.
Yeah, I told you that. But he was actually originally from Long Island, New York. He's only moved to Texas 3 years ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
So would you consider him to be a Texan now? A Texan man?
Not yet.
Well, he likes spicy food.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say he's a Texan.
Well, Texans will never fully accept him as their own.
That's... Rob, go get a cowboy hat, mate. Get a cowboy hat.
And boots. Gotta have shit kickers.
Okay, so go get a cowboy hat, go get some boots, and go get a pickup truck. You'll be fine. But yeah, so yeah, Rob has moved from Long Island, New York over to... That's across the country, isn't it?
But Austin is awesome. It's a great little town.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go and
visit. It's also one of the gayest towns in America.
I'm actually hoping just to go and visit Texas because I really do. I mean, I had never been appreciative of country music ever until I met Kat, and she actually opened my eyes up to country music. And I will say that's one of my favorite genres of music to listen to.
Okay. Okay. Now, this is totally unsolicited, totally spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that they're still there after the pandemic. But there is a Mexican restaurant in Austin called Curras, Curras, Curras. Amazing food, but they have avocado margaritas that are to die for.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
So good. It honestly, I want to go back to Austin just to have the avocado margarita at Curras.
Okay, I've got a little thing that I'm going to put out to somebody. Okay. Now, let's see if anyone would be kind enough to do this for me.
Okay.
Now, I've gotten into the hot sauces scenario, right? And I would love to see if somebody could send me some hot sauce from anywhere in America. This is just primarily Americans, okay?
Okay, you really want it from the Southwest, either Texas or like New Mexico.
Well, Texas, I'd love Rob if he could go and get me some hot sauce, just a small little bottle of hot sauce, and send it to me. I would be very happy to give him the money for it. No dramas. We can work that out. But if someone in America could actually get some hot sauce, right, and email me to say they've got it and they just need our address to send it, I would be very happy to cover shipping and costs. I would love to get listener interaction like that where they would actually give me a present. And okay. I will actually send something back to you in kind. It's not a one-way street. Kat and I will find something.
Oh, this here in Australia. Dangerous.
No, this is, hey, if I get 35
this
bottles.
This could get expensive, honey.
Could you imagine if I got 35 bottles of hot sauce?
God help us.
From
all over
America.
Put the toilet paper in the freezer.
But if anyone is interested in doing that for me, that would be awesome. I would love that. And toilet paper in the freezer, I'm not going to do that. Maybe. Who knows?
Okay. Well, on that happy note, next time we'll be doing season 4, episode 24 of The Roommate Trend, called The Roommate Transmogrification.
Try to say that 3 times when you're drunk.
No, thanks. All right. So that's it for this week. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, we'll catch up at the Cheesecake Factory.
Hot sauce forever.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Hey.
Hello.
I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going?
Other than waiting out the exponential growth period of the virulent organisms trooping through my microvilli into my circulatory system, hunky-dory. Did I say something amusing?
I don't know, maybe. I have no idea what you said.
So your mirth is merely a discharge of nervous energy with no semantic content at all?
My mirth, classic.
Is there a station coming up where I can board your giggling train of thought?
It's not a big deal, Sheldon. It's just ever since Leonard's been dating Raj's sister, I've had to keep my distance. I don't get to hear all your jibber-jabber.
Jibber-jabber? I don't jibber-jabber.
What are you doing at work these days?
Oh, I'm working on time-dependent backgrounds in string theory, specifically quantum field theory in D-dimensional De Sitter space.
All right, come on, even you have to admit that's jibber-jabber.
Interesting. Do you know where the phrase jibber-jabber comes from?
Oh my God, you're about to jibber-jabber about jibber-jabber.
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, all started with the Big Bang.